listening to WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
I would say most everybody that's healthy should expect to play in the game. How long they'll play, I don't know, but we have to prepare to play in football games and, you know, prepare to win football games. So that's the mentality that we're going to take.
His name is Mike Vrabel, head coach of the New England Patriots, getting ready for, we haven't really touched on this, and I feel like we've kind of glossed over it. A lot of Drake May talk, different things. This is Mike Vrabel's first game coaching the Patriots. I know we just assume, well, he's been there, he's done that, but it's his first game, and it's a special place. You know, we saw him on the field going into the hall. Now he's going to be on the field standing in the sideline, you guys stood on with Bill Belichick as the coach to win. Now he's the big dog.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah,
time to get to work. I
get the sense that Mike really coveted this job,
and
is now that he is the head coach is proud, and I think he sees an opportunity to cement his coaching legacy. I mean, this is, if you're gonna want to, why not coach at the place you played where you set records and you made history?
Well, and also that comment he made when one of the media members asked, like, what should we look for if you were in the media? And he's like, whoa, I'll never be in the media. When I'm done here, you witness protection. You won't find me. And
except for when he covered the draft, but we'll just
ignore that. We'll gloss over that. Yeah. But
yeah. You know he'd crush it in the media. You know that, right?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, God.
But that answer he gave was sort of twofold. I think it gave the expectation, I'm going to be here for a little while, and then I'm going to retire.
Yep.
And I don't really plan on looking anywhere else to coach. Like, this is where I'm going to coach.
Like, it just looks like he's coaching hard. Like, you know what I mean? That sounds weird. But it looks like he's always around. He's always thinking. He's always making moves. And you see how engaged he is when he's at practice. It just looks like this job means a lot to him. And his actions would suggest that.
WEEI Afternoons, we are live at the Dean College stage in Patriot Place between Bar Louie's Citizen Crust. Patriots preseason opener tonight against the Commanders, Tom Brady's statue. But most importantly, what does Ted Johnson think are the 3 points for success for the 2025 Patriots? He got caught up in a autograph line or something. He missed the three-point stance earlier. He was all prepped, locked, and loaded for it. So, Ted Johnson, 3 points of success for the 2025 Patriots.
So I went below the surface in my analysis.
Deeper dive. That's what we call you. Deep dive Ted Johnson.
So, absolutely. Heard that a bunch.
There you go. Thank you for acknowledging that. So one of the top, I think, keys for the Patriots' success this year is when it comes to turnover margin. So it kind of covers, you know, obviously everything. So you can sit there and say, well, the defense needs to, you know, lead the league in turnovers or be top five. Or you can just say be a really good team in turnover margin, right?
Yeah.
The teams that ranked in the top seven in turnover margin last year, Buffalo Bills, Steelers, the Chargers, Green Bay, Minnesota, Detroit, Philadelphia. Playoff teams?
Yep.
All of them, right? The best team was Buffalo at plus 24 last year. The Patriots ranked 28th in the NFL with a minus 11 turnover margin.
They were not a playoff team.
So, obviously, don't turn the ball over on offense and get the ball on defense. I just think you're one of the better teams in turnover margin. You're going to probably have a good season. Number two.
Wait, can I just ask you a question about that? So you guys had a lot of teams over the years, you and then some that followed, different times. Turnover margin was a big thing, not just because Brady and company didn't turn it over, but the defense would get them in bunches.
Correct.
What is that all about? Like, is that just good players? Is that good scheme? Is it contagious? Is it aggressive? Like, do you face, you know, weak quarterbacks? You take advantage of them. How do you get to that spot?
Absolutely. I mean, if there's a quarterback that is lazy with the football or takes chances, what's the term? Do you know? You hear us old guys that play for the team say it all. What's he going to do? He's gonna throw you one. He's going to give you a chance to intercept his – and there's just guys that they have decisions in games where you go, what the hell were they thinking?
Yep.
And so you identify what quarterbacks those are, and so you highlight it all throughout the week. But really is you – teams that are bad at something – if they're bad tackling teams, you know what makes them a better tackling team? It's practice tackling, right? So a team that is good at turning the ball over practices turning the ball over in practice.
Okay.
And so you got to emphasize it and make it a point. And then it usually happens in the game. So that's really how it is on the defensive side.
I'll presume that Mike Vrabel puts a premium on that.
Huge.
Okay.
Huge. All right. So two is I'm a big believer in dominating third down. So his situational football, broken down, 2-minute red zone, third down offense. The top teams in third down conversions last year in the NFL, the Buccaneers, the Chiefs, the Ravens, the Lions, the Commanders, the Buffalo Bills, the San Francisco 49ers, and the Philadelphia Eagles. Anything they have in common?
A lot of good offenses.
All playoff teams.
Except for San Francisco.
Oh, shoot. All right. All but San Francisco.
But they did have the DNA of a playoff team.
And injuries derailed
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
And so you really want to be over 40% ideally.
Yeah.
The Patriots were ranked 16th at 34%. You know what? Be good on third down. Getting a short and third down and manageable. So that's my second key to success. First one is just be a very good turnover margin team. The second one on offense, be a really good third down defense, or excuse me, offense. And Josh is excellent at scheming in those situations.
Call that the money down, right?
It's the money
you
down.
Make your money?
It's usually the people that are on the field on third down are the ones that make the most money.
Yep. So we'll find out who those guys are as the year unfolds.
That's something I also wonder about with Drake. You've talked about it a couple times, the ability to make that short pass, make the easy one, make the one in third and manageable that keeps your offense moving. It's not a worry, but it's something where I think he has to grow this year.
And also probably have a trust in... Can I throw – like I think Tom Brady trusted Wes Welker, James White. Like, I can throw it 2 or 3 yards short of the sticks, and they will get the first down. Like, it doesn't always have to be beyond the sticks if I trust a guy to get beyond the sticks with the ball sometimes.
Right, right.
And I think Drake is at the point where he feels like, if we're going to get a first down, I got to get the ball past – I got to do it. It's going to be my arm and my throw that does it. Sometimes it might be Travion Henderson on a little wheel route or a swing pass, and I let him run with it.
Is that one of the more frustrating things is to see? I mean, when the Patriots' offense needs 5 yards for a first down and a receiver runs a 4-yard route,
yep.
Belichick has no pay. Like, that right. is just teams
Rookie
like
mistake,
that.
Short of the sticks.
All right, so the third and key to what I think is going to lead to the Patriots' success this year is – honestly, it comes down to Drake May. I was just thinking, what stat encapsulates kind of a good season for Drake that will lead to wins? I think his TD to interception ratio
yes.
is important.
Yep.
And so I think it's got to be 3-1. Give me a 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio
Ooh.
From Drake May, and you will win 9 to 10 games.
I don't mind that. 3-1.
So that's
extrapolate that out to 21-7.
27-9, I'd prefer.
I mean, sure, but I'm going to go, incremental growth from 10 and 10. I think you get over 20 to – I always
– 60 to 20?
Yeah, just
– That'd be cool, too.
Relatively realistic.
So he had 15 touchdowns, 10 interceptions last year.
Yeah, yeah.
So, more
That's
than
not
2
great.
To 1. Yeah, so give me 3-1. Give me one of the better defenses – or excuse me, third down defenses – or excuse me, third down conversion rates on offense. And then lastly is be a very good – turnover margin.
Of those three, which do you think will be the most difficult to attain for this football team as they kind of come together?
Probably the third down offense.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just, with about an offensive line that's shaky and wide receivers and a young quarterback.
But I would also say the third down offense and the touchdown interception ratio, while a lot of that's Drake May, that's also, you said money down. It's also the money down for the star pass rusher who is going to be lined up across right. from Will Campbell or Marcus Bryant
right.
or DeMontre Jacobs, or over that blitz that the D coordinator has dialed up. He's not using it on first down, probably. He's using it on third down.
It's when third down is when you do see more exotic blitzes. You do. And so it is a test on both sides. It is definitely a money down for both sides. And, it's a down that they got to be –
So if there's, I don't know, maybe two rookies on one side of the offensive line and an old defensive player says time to feast, that might be on third down the opportunity to feast.
It is the perfect time to feast. You really want to just break it down even more? Red zone third down.
Ooh, yeah.
Then it's but yes, obvious passing situations, third down and long, that is when that left side, if they're both rookies, will be tested by two-man games, three-man stunts, overload blitzes to that side.
Obviously, we're not going to see things that make us know whether those are going to come to fruition in November, December, or not tonight. But will you see samplings of that? Because they always say vanilla. Oh, the preseason is vanilla, so you can't really learn much. Is Ted Johnson going to learn something tonight?
I feel like defenses are starting to blitz more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like they're not just running cover. Because I think so many teams, even their base defenses – have action where they're sending guys. It's not a lot of teams aren't doing what we used to do, which is right. just 34 cover 2.
Right.
It's a lot of teams. Some of their bread and butter plays are where they send a fifth rusher. So yep. it's almost theoretically a blitz, right, and is their bread and butter type packages. So I think you'll see some more exotic stuff on defense that will test this offense more than you think.
And obviously some of that is in light of like, oh, you know, you feel good about Will Campbell tonight, and maybe you're just like, well, did they really test him? Did they really come after those guys? Or are we getting a false sense of security that maybe the Raiders, Max Crosby, TJ Watt, some of these other guys that are on the pretty immediate early season horizon? And but I'll be honest with you. I've always said I prefer false sense of security to poor play. Like, I'd much like, that's a first step. False sense of security might actually build the confidence of the guy,
yeah,
and then it might become security, and then he might play better. You know, no one feels good after you get your butt whooped.
It right? implies progress.
Right.
It implies that something was shown that, all right, there's something we can build off of.
For the here and now,
yeah,
you may not be able to, like, extrapolate too far beyond it, but at least for the here and now, you did something well.
And I don't know, I've always felt like, okay, I know how we've played in preseason, I know how we played against each other, but when the games are real, how are we going to – it's, you just don't know until you – I just right. kind of want to see what it looks like tonight. It's
– absolutely.
You know, it's they're getting paid on the other side. It's a semi kind of feel of a game. Let's just see how they look, and if they look like it's too – you know, that they're not focused or locked in, then I'll be worried, because this is a game they clearly should, from an operational standpoint, look like they know what the hell they're doing.
WEEI Afternoons on the Dean College stage here at Patriot Place, just outside of Citizen Crust. If you need to come down, grab a slice of pizza or a drink real quick before the Tom Brady statue reveal ceremony. We're about 20 minutes away. Robert Kraft will speak. Tom Brady will speak. And then about an hour after that, we'll get some real football. We'll get Drake May in his debut for 2025. Mike Vrabel, his debut on a Patriots sideline at Gillette Stadium as the home coach. He's won here in the postseason. Now he's going to try to win here as the home coach in the preseason. Up next here on WEEI Afternoons, Odds and Ends, where we look at a local Little League team that's making a name for itself and going national here. That's up next on WEEI Afternoons.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
Gets away from the catcher. Here comes Fasoli. Fasoli now retreats. Now he runs home and he'll score the winning run. Braintree, it's going to Williamsport.
That was audio of the Braintree, Massachusetts American team beating the Bedford, New Hampshire team. Walk-off 3-2 win. The 12-year-olds are now 17-0 this summer, and they earned the right to go to Williamsport. We spoke with Coach Frizzoli the other day, so I'm assuming that his son Frizzoli scoring the winning run there. So that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Coach, dad, son moment. And that's, I mean, that's just awesome. You know I'm a baseball guy a little bit. Actually, it was funny because we had talked maybe Brian Hoyer coming on the show today, and you were like, oh, he's off at Cooperstown with his kid. That is one of the great – we never had the opportunity to do the Williamsport thing, yeah, but we did the Cooperstown thing, and that is an unbelievable event, location, experience for a week. Parents, kids, it's awesome. But this Braintree team, going to the Little League World Series,
I think they're South Carolina. They got in their first draw. So
yeah, that's –
I don't know how they play baseball down there in South Carolina, but they
– I bet it's good.
I'm sure it's good.
Yeah, yeah, I bet it's good. The further south
pitching,
you get, the more they play year-round and the better – but this Braintree team has been dominant. They were blowing people out. I know Bedford, that was a good game there, 3-2. But they've had some great pitching. When we talked to the coach the other day, he was saying they had three really good pitchers. And that's the key, pitching depth. A lot of teams have the one good kid. And then you find out when you got to play the next game and he can't pitch. It's they're a lot more beatable when that kid's not on the mound.
I was watching their game against, I think it was Vermont on Monday morning. They went to the bullpen, kept it at zero, and that just allowed the offense to go and go and go, and they ended up mercy ruling him. So to your point, that's something, I mean, and you've coached it before. You have one great arm, that's good. Two is a pretty big rarity for some of those teams.
I find it so funny, and Cora said it the other day, just keep doing what you're doing and keep having that pitching. And it's
true.
It doesn't matter if you're at the lowest of leagues or the highest of leagues. If you have the best pitching, you got a really good chance to win.
Yeah.
Like, we love offense, and we love to score a boatload of runs, but eventually the offense will come because it's baseball. Just don't strike out 16 times, Alex Cora's Red Sox, like you've done too many times this season. Put the ball in play, and with your pitching doing their job, you'll eventually – find a, you know, a little bleeder or something here, a walk, a stolen base, and all of a sudden you put two or three runs on the board, and that's enough to win a baseball game. So that's cool. That's cool for the state. That's cool for that Braintree team. That's cool for those kids, and wish them good luck. Hopefully they – what's up? Sebastian Vollmer here at the Deep College. He's going to work.
Look at Sebastian.
He's going to go see Tom Brady.
Slim.
Look at how
slim. Look.
He's a model. He's got
love the
sunglasses.
Look,
he's flexing.
My man. That is
got the
that is a good look right
lemonade
there.
Lemonade that I assume
Sebastian
is
Sebastian Vollmer, everybody.
It's a mocktail. It's
Vollmer
a mock.
Pats.
Yeah, we'll go mocktail with it, Sebastian.
Good seeing you, man.
Heading down to I heard Tom Brady was just down Patriot Place here at the Tom Brady card vault.
That's
earlier.
Very cool. Very
and he's
cool.
Making his way down to the ceremony that starts
I believe
at 6.
Sebastian does color work, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah.
For German.
German, yeah.
German color work.
Yep.
There is there's a flow of people. There's a flow of
We got a 52.
Oh, we
jersey.
Got a Ted Johnson.
We got a 52 old jersey.
Old school jersey.
Sure?
What's up, my man? There you go. Attaboy.
Way okay, it is. It's not a Landon Roberts, just making sure. Just
that's a 98 jersey, probably.
Those, I like those.
Those are your, yeah, a lot of people.
Because well, that was like my high school heyday, like middle of the, yeah, youth movement there. That Ted Johnson was my hero, you're not like, my co-host here on WEEI Afternoons. Yeah,
really? I
little bit.
That. Yeah, no, that's sweet of you, man.
You know,
I wasn't sure. I had to ask you.
You were a hard-nosed.
I actually had to ask him, I think, on our trip to Green Bay. I'm like, were you a fan of mine?
Yes. Hard-nosed middle linebacker.
That's just because you can't find the copies of Patriots Football Weekly where he ripped
Ted Johnson, right. Sam Gash, the fullbacks, the linebackers. That
sure.
Was little chubby Andy's heyday,
by
those
the,
kinds of
by
guys.
By the way, I'm going to say something that Ted won't. Shout out to Ted Johnson. He spent the last probably six commercial breaks
yes.
Of the show taking pictures and
yes.
Signing autographs with people.
We need Ted Johnson's card vault. People
I know.
Can show up,
seriously.
Get autographs,
man
take
of the
photos.
People, man.
Seriously.
No, that
well
was
done.
Very cool. And
yeah.
I think that's awesome. When you the my favorite one is a kid who never saw you play. I don't know if he was 4 years old, but he just looks up at you like,
yeah.
What the hell is that, Dad? And why are you telling me to go stand next to him? Like, he just is in awe of you. And that's a what'd you say earlier your dad said to never?
No, he said, don't ever take it for granted, yeah. Son, because there'll be a day when no one gives a poop, you know?
I don't think there ever will be.
Well, yeah. That, maybe not in this town.
You might get old, and you might get a little skinny, lose a little muscle, and then you just throw those rings on, maybe, and then they're like, are those three? Are you? You're that guy. And that'll still –
you know, but we'll get to graduate. I want people to see me as a radio guy. I'd like to be in this spot.
Yeah, did you hear all those stats? We were talking about third downs and turnovers and breaking down what's going to be a good season. But I believe Christian Arcand is on the other end of the line right now looking to join us. I'm interested to get his perspective since I've been stuck between Fitzy and Johnson today talking about the statue and whether tonight is about Tom Brady or whether tonight is about the future. Christian Arcand, what are you looking for tonight?
I'm looking forward to seeing what this freaking statue finally looks like. We've been, it's just so much buildup for this that it's got to either be the greatest statue ever or the worst statue ever. Anything in between, I feel like, is going to be a bit of a disappointment.
Okay,
Andy, I hope you've enjoyed the being at a Patriots event with Ted Johnson experience. I see Dan Ball there has become the full-time photographer. And Fitzy are the bouncers. It's Ken Laird, also another bouncer down there. This is what life is like, traveling around with Ted, just so
absolutely.
You know. This is how it works.
Absolutely. And Dan Ball is also the handler. He's going to be like, guys, he's going to get back on the radio. It'll be about 10 minutes, and he'll be able to come back out
he's
take a few
stretch.
More pictures.
Huge help.
Absolutely.
Huge help.
Odds and Ends is sponsored by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats, RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. Christian Arcand, you just brought something up. It's got to be the greatest statue or the worst statue, whatever. I have this rule. If you're going to say something's the greatest, then you got to tell me what was the previous greatest. So what is the current greatest sports statue, I guess, in Boston sports, New England sports?
The Orr
Rocky Marciano
statue,
in Brockton?
The Rocky,
Rocky
statue in Brockton's a pretty good one.
That's a pretty cool. It's a big one.
Bobby Orr?
Yeah,
Bobby
Orr
is definitely
good. Bill Russell, that's a good one, too. The Tony DeMarco statue in the North End is a pretty good one. Of the boxer there out in front of Mama Maria's. I like that one.
Yep.
That might be my favorite. That's the one I saw the most. So I'll say that one or Red Auerbach in Faneuil Hall.
Yes, I kind of like the red one. The red one's kind of cool because you can sit next to it, that thing. But the Rocky,
I used to bartend out there, and I used to see young women do disgusting things on that statue. I'm not even kidding. It was
really?
Oh, yeah. They were waiting to get into Ned Devine's. They'd be doing lap dances on the red statue.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That was a big thing in the 2000s. Yeah.
Oh, the things that people are going to do to Tom Brady's statue.
What is people? You mean Fitzy.
You got to put a Ring vid camera on
that
thing.
The thing that Fitzy, who had to leave early in case you didn't notice, to get
to
a close
give
spot
the statue a
next
lap
to the yes.
Or, Christian, he left early. He left 2 seconds
He did.
Ago.
He left to go get close to the statue. But, Christian, so you have not a full show tonight, but you got, what, 3 hours leading up to a late Red Sox baseball game. We've dubbed it a sneaky big baseball game. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's a huge, huge road trip here. You got three games against San Diego. It's a team that loaded up at the deadline and really made some big moves, tried to make a big move with you to get Jaren Duran. They had pitching to offer and catching prospect. Red Sox just signed a catcher today. We'll talk about all that, and we'll have Tom King, who's down there where you are, and we'll talk with him about the Brady statue and preview this game tonight.
Perfect. Stick around for the Christian Arcan Show leading up to the 9:40 Red Sox start in San Diego. That's going to do it for WEEI Afternoons. Thank everybody here at Patriot Place, at Citizen Crust for their internet access, Dean College Stage. Good one, boys. Enjoy the night, whether you're worried about the statue or you're worried about Drake May. Enjoy that there is an exciting, buzz-filled football game here in Foxborough again. Good times. We'll be back on Monday with Drake May, our first Drake May interview of the year. Patriots Monday. We'll be here 2 to 6. Talk to you then.
I am Tom Brady, and I am a Patriot.